Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Yamaha Outboards. Reliability starts here. Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Maxa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup right here next to the Sport Fishing Landings in San Diego. A couple of great captains were double hooked up today with Captain Steve Peterson from the Mission Bell and Captain Fred Huber from the Daily Double talking fishing and Point Loma Sport Fishing, and we're ready to go.
Yeah, this is great, man. Having a great time. Tons of great information and lots of fun with Fred and Steve. We want to hear from you. If you want to be a part of this hour number two, give us a call, 833-288-0973. Been an incredibly busy morning this morning, but that's going to be your shot. Tons of time to get you through in the second hour, 833-288-0973. If you didn't hear the beginning of the show, too, giving away an awesome prize. One lucky caller at the end of today's show is going to get to go fishing, get in all the fun we've been talking about on the Daily Double, because we're giving away two passes to one lucky angler out there, two passes on the half-day Daily Double at a Point Loma Sport Fishing in San Diego. In addition to winning those two passes, you're also going to get a $50 gift certificate to our great friends down at Point Loma Seafoods, an awesome opportunity, and always got cool stuff going on. I was in there yesterday. And they had, which Terry said, you've got to try this. It was, you know, one of the specials they make up sometimes. It was swordfish bolognese. So it was like a meat sauce made with swordfish and some, you know, some pasta. And he said, like, you wait till you try this. It's going to be the best thing you've ever had. So they've always got some cool special stuff on down there, in addition to that amazing fish case and the smoked fish that they do.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's such an awesome spot. And, again, $50 gift certificate to one lucky person out there going to Point Loma Seafood.
You bet. Big, exciting news. I met with Mark Wheeler this week from Encinitas Ford. We're on June 20th. It's going to be our first San Diego County Ford Dealers Live Remote. It's going to be at Encinitas Ford in Encinitas, right corner of Encinitas Boulevard and El Camino and Encinitas. And, of course, it's going to be your first chance to qualify for that eight-day limited load fall trip on the Searcher via random drawing or the casting contest. I know Cowboy will be there and Tommy P and everybody giving away a ton of great prizes from AFCO and a whole lot more great stuff. Shimano will have a bunch of flat fall jigs and all kinds of great stuff. But that's on. Mark your
great
calendar.
News,
it's going to be the
cool
first one, Saturday, June 20th, at Encinitas Ford, right there at the corner of Encinitas Boulevard and El Camino Real in Encinitas. It's going to be great. And we want to thank the San Diego County Ford dealers for all their great support, too. They are selling some cars, and
yeah,
they have some
bet.
Amazing deals right now. So go see your San Diego County Ford dealer and get hooked up.
No doubt about that. Well, hey, with that said, it's time to find out what's going on the water. It is time for our catch report. Today, that FishDope.com report is sponsored by Dana Landing on Mission Bay, your one-stop shop for everything that you need to go fishing. They have a complete saltwater tackle shop, a full deli. They offer Mexican and California licenses. They do trips and six-pack charters. And when it comes to freshwater tackle, check out East County Bait and Tackle, full of all the freshwater tackle and live bait that you need for a great day on the lake. Dana Landing is right across from SeaWorld next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. And East County Bait and Tackle, they're at the end of the 67 freeway at Maple View and Lakeside. Check DanaLanding.com for more info.
Indeed. Dana Landing has it all for you, so be sure to check that out. They have the dead flyers. They have all the rigs for you. They have kites. They have, you want to go chase some big tuna or some yellowtail or whatever, Dana Landing has it.
That's your spot.
Yeah,
hey,
for sure.
Let's talk to our man, the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Pete, Fred, Steve. Okay, so guys, we got some serious breaking news here.
Oh,
not on the water, but yeah, it's like, but I thought this was an amazingly positive sign that we're getting back to normal, because I was able to make an appointment, go over after work, and get a haircut.
Ah! Hey, I'm doing the same thing today. My wife was like,
there you go,
got
man.
To go call
dude,
Cuba.
I need it
yeah.
so bad. Oh, my God.
Things are getting back to normal, guys. So anyway, we're looking at the start of our summer season here, more and more coverage, especially after last week, and then we got a better picture of what's going on. It's kind of interesting there. So I'll hit a few highlights here for you. Catalina, goes without saying, boat pressure last weekend was extreme, but there were some notable catches all the way around the island of bass fishing. The Cockle bass fishing was just nothing short of fantastic. The fish are in the spawn mode. Man, they're really biting. A lot of big ones, too. Just fun fishing there. Mixed in with that was a sprinkle of yellows here and there, mostly school size, but a few bigger ones, mostly down east there. Best bait for those big ones is a slow troll back roll. Bigger the better. They love those things. Best news at Catalina is a squid situation. It was a little lean there for a bit, but some new bait moved in. Backside middle, backside east, and frontside west all has meaningful amounts of squid right now, which is good news. And along with that bait, a little bit more of that bigger sea bass moved in with it. Most of the good ones were in the 30 to 40-pound range, and, man, there's nothing wrong with that. And I know of at least two over 50 pounds caught last weekend. So,
geez.
Yeah, it's a little behind schedule, but it's kind of getting rolling there. Closer to home, conditions along the beach are finally getting straight, and a lot of rip tides finally pushing out of here, and things are improving all over. I fished a few days back, no sea bass for us, but clouds of bait and too many local threshers. Those things they are definitely around. They pull hard. And there's been some of that bigger sea bass caught up and down the beach here recently. That's good news. And then some of the best news along the beach is Danny just called me a little bit ago, telling me about that barracuda you guys were talking about moving in down south there, that bird school and surf siren fishing for that barracuda. That stuff's a blast. Hopefully it just loads up the whole coast for everybody. And also along the beach, this was new, a few yellows caught out by the rigs here this week, the mid-channel rigs. So hopefully some of that gets going. Then offshore, of course, we got that good gray bluefin mixed in with some nice yellowfin scattered from the hidden bank, 371, 302, and it looks like there's a hint of that fish pushing more up towards Cometti. So it seems like that area is on the move a little bit. Oh, just, I mean, the amount of reports I got this week from big fish being caught, that bigger bluefin, I think even a couple that taped out over three now. Oh, my God. It's interesting, guys, and with things loosening up, it looks like we're going to get a lot more coverage, a lot more guys get a chance to take advantage of what's just nothing short of amazing amounts of fish here for this time of year.
Yeah, no kidding. And, of course, fishdope.com, Danny and the boys have been doing such a great job keeping people informed on what's going on the water, both whether it be at Catalina, Channel Islands, Coronado Islands, or offshore. Fishdope.com has your source. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code. You've got to have fishdope.com, and you got to go have a Pacific Edge bait tank, too. So how do we find you, Mark?
Well, P, thanks for that. We're at the corner of Bolsa Chica and Bolsa Chica and Edinger in Huntington Beach by the big Chevron station there. And we are keeping regular hours now, so that's a good thing. And phone number at the store is 714-840-4262, and the website is PacificEdgeTackle.com. And, man, I'm telling you guys, there's a lot of fish around, and I think next week's going to be a fantastic report.
Okay.
I like the sounds of
that. Yeah, let's go, for sure. Thanks a lot, Mark, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, appreciate that. That's going to wrap up our catch for today, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Bring your private boat caught fish to Fisherman's Processing and give it the treatment that it deserves. Drop off your fish between 8 and noon. You catch it, they process. Let the experts fillet and vacuum pack your fish in table-ready portions. Fish Pros, the market is also open for fresh fish, their smoked and jerky fish, spices, rubs, smoked cheese, and more. And don't forget their famous tuna burgers. See them at their Liberty Station location or order online at fishermansprocessing.com.
Okay, got to tell a story about the new Pokey Mix and Pokey Sauce.
Yeah.
I was there picking up some bluefin tuna yesterday at Fisherman's Processing that we dropped off. For them to process, do such a fantastic job of processing your fish. And Sean says you've got to try the new Pokey Mix and the spice rub, which the spice has been out for a while.
Right.
But the new thing is the sauce, which they do it all for you. So my wife, Lolly, she is, like, very, very picky about what happens. She read the ingredients. It's like, okay, we can eat this. Okay, it's good. So it's all good quality ingredients. We made it up last night, the pokey. It is unbelievable and so simple. You add a tablespoon of the pokey spice.
The dry.
And then you put 2 tablespoons of the pokey sauce in there. Unbelievable. Gave some to Mark Wheeler. He texted me last night. This place, how, where do I get this stuff?
That's cool.
It's unbelievable. So
what's so cool,
it is amazing,
is it's the mix of all the wet ingredients that you would put in a traditional poke,
right,
in one bottle. And you know it's good because, like, when you look at the ingredients, it's not a bunch of names you've never heard of. It's, you know,
just basic stuff.
Yeah, it's soy sauce, sesame oil. It's all the rice wine vinegar. It's the stuff that you put in a perfect,
yeah,
pokey in one bottle, one shot. You,
right.
You know, you put your dry, you cut your fish into cubes, you mix in a couple of teaspoons of that, you,
yeah,
mix it up in a bowl, and you've had the best pokey your life at home. It's so easy. And you want to talk about something cool to impress your friends at a party or something? There's nothing more easy. You literally cut the fish into cubes, you throw it in a bowl, mix some of this, mix some of that, stir it up with a,
yeah,
spoon, and next thing you know, everybody's blown away because you're the, you know, you're the ultimate pokey chef.
Oh yeah, no,
really
no doubt
cool
about it. So you can get it at Fisherman's Processing at Liberty Station, or just order online at fishermansprocessing.com. But if you like pokey, I highly recommend.
I can't wait to try.
And if Lolly is approved.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. That meets,
yeah,
the standard,
that's
then.
That's a big deal. All right, phones are packed. They want to talk to you. So
I know they do, but I feel like we just finished the catch report, and like, I just feel like there's a report that from the field research that just needs to be given.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
I'm stoked, man. I know the field research was on the big ones, and I just want to hear about it.
Wednesday,
yeah.
Well, I had the lucky thing, Brandon Hayward wanted to go fishing with me, so it's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah, I got a boat.
Yeah, let's go. So we went out there, and it was a long day for an old guy like me, but we finally got bit about 5 o'clock on some dead flyers. We hooked three, all in that 120 to 130 pound range. We got two. Ron Lane got a beautiful fish, and then we hooked a couple more, but Brandon's awesome, man. I learned so much from that guy going fishing with him, and just about how to read the temperature charts, where to go, where to position the baits. You know, we trolled the yummy around. But it was good fishing. And Steve Pinard was out the same day on his Go Fast boat.
Yeah,
and
shit.
He had two big ones on the yummy flyer. So, and it's been biting like that this week. So it's biting right now.
That's been, you know, I mean, obviously you guys got them with the dead, and it sounds like you got yourselves located. That's kind of been the program for a lot of guys, to troll that, you know, yummy flyer around and use that almost more as a tool to get yourself located. I mean, obviously you hook a fish on it, that's best case,
yeah,
scenario, but you know, a lot of times guys will get themselves located with that and then get the frozen flyer out there,
yeah,
or, you know, while you're skipping that around, you know, find a big school on your up and down, you
that's
can get
it
set up on that and get that frozen flyer out,
yeah,
to them. It's like a combination of those two techniques is what it would take. But how cool that you left in the morning and, you know, in the afternoon, evening, you're back with two, you know, 100-plus pound bluefins, which is,
yeah,
an awesome
34
day.
Miles from home.
That's great,
yeah,
man.
that's pretty cool. But, the, you know, one of the things, like you said something very important, is when you see those fish, when you get into that area where that big fish is, stop and put that dead flyer out,
yeah,
there
that thing
on,
is
the,
just,
on the kite. It's money.
It's what they want to eat.
That's
there's
what
no doubt
they
about
want to
it
eat,
there,
yeah, for sure. Run around locating them with that. But of course, a lot of times the bigger fish are biting that yummy flyer, right? I don't know why.
Sometimes,
but,
yes,
yeah,
and sometimes no. You know, I mean, Neil had an unreal trip on our boat where they got a 285 on the frozen,
jeez,
flyer, and they got located with the rubber, and that was a 150-pounder, and they had two fish on the frozen that were 180 and 285.
Yeah.
You know, I think the right one eats it. You know, you can't, on a school of fish, you can't necessarily target the 200-pounder one way or another, but what you can do is hook them on the right size tackle that allows you to catch them. You know, you can't, you know, force a 200-pounder to bite instead of a 150, but, you know, that kite application allows you to fish with big hooks and heavy leader and big reels.
Right.
So when the right one does bite, you got a shot to bring them home.
That's where that Talica 50 comes in.
Oh, my God.
Man. You got to have it.
Best
it,
thing
you got
ever.
That, it is absolutely the perfect rig.
It really
for that.
Is.
Match that with a, what CalStar is that?
I mean, there's lots of great ones out there. The one that is my favorite that I use, and I know you as well, is the CalStar Graphiter. It's a 765 double extra heavy.
That thing's a beast.
Yeah, sweet.
Yeah. Ron put the hurt on that fish in like 15 minutes, and he turned to me and he goes, that reel and rod's amazing.
Yeah. Good,
yeah,
good tackle on big fish makes a really big difference.
Yeah,
you know, you
sure
can, you can catch mid-size fish on just about anything and not really pay the price, but really big ones, having very appropriate tackle makes it is the difference maker.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Well, hey, phones are packed. Let's talk Coronado Islands and local fishing here, because it's going
to
happen here very, very soon. So
yeah,
let's
buddy.
Jump into it.
How about Pablo in Chula Vista up next on Let's Talk Hookup? What's up, Pablo?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to hear you. Really miss you, Fred, and your boat. It's been so long.
You're anxious to go, aren't you, Pablo?
We're jonesing too, Paul. This is the longest I've ever been off the water, and I can't tell you when. So we're looking forward to seeing you.
Probably the longest stretch you haven't seen Pablo.
Yeah, all the above.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had a couple questions, Fred. Now that you're going to have people all the way around your boat, do you think you'll start a rotation, like when the calico bite goes and they're all biting in the stern? Do you think you'll do a rotation again?
You know, Paul, all these things, I try not to future trip too much. And, you know, we'll play day by day and see how things go. And social distancing, and you know, you can create a scenario in your mind of going crazy. And you know, Steve and I, we kick things around, we have conversations, but you know, at the end of the day, we'll see what happened. You know, what happens the first day and how people react, totally. and you know, how gracious people are with each other. And you know, it's just it's hard to know what's going to happen. And you know, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I think though with what's going on, people have been pretty gracious. I mean, people have an understanding of like we need to kind of care for each other and do all the proper things so that we can continue this, right?
Yes, and you know, the one thing I'll say about the stern rotation, I got away from it way back because if you don't mention it, then a lot of people don't realize it. It's when you start mentioning it and making it a thing, then people at the end of the trip, well, I didn't get my turn. And it's like, well, you know, what do you tell them? You didn't fight hard enough for it?
Right.
And it's not something, you know, less rules are better for me.
Yeah.
I don't like telling people what they have to do and what they can do. I'll make suggestions, change your bait, but forcing people to go someplace, not go someplace, It's not who I want to be.
That's not your deal.
Yeah, it's...
You've always provided such a fun, easygoing, good, carefree atmosphere in the double. I mean, it's not a big ego. It's not a bunch of, you know, drunk dudes all upset. It's just very fun, good family fishing, and it always has been.
Yeah.
I mean, you provide the right scenario. And, like, when that's, like, the, you know, when that's the level that you put out, everybody else just kind of follows along.
Yeah, well, what's going on the boat, you know, the general goings on and relaxed atmosphere is what we want. I always remember one time I got kind of cross with a customer that cut his line on a seagull before we could get there, and it has a long piece of line on it. It's like I kind of shook my finger at him, not literally, but you know, what's that bird going to do now with that long piece of line on him?
Yeah.
That's, you know, let us help you. And his response was like, well, if I wanted to get bitched at, I would have stayed at home today and listened to my wife. And it's like, whoa, okay, you know, sorry for the place you're in, but it taught me the lesson that, you know, trying to police somebody and explain right from wrong, you know, even that has to be tempered. You know, nobody wants to see a bird with a long piece of line on it.
No, that's not right.
Yeah.
But by the same token, that guy doesn't need to be given a hard time. You know, it needs to be tempered in such a way that I didn't cause him to have that comment. You know, he's out on the ocean and he's wanting to relax, and me giving him a hard time.
Somehow I don't think Fred gives anybody a hard
time. Yeah, I was
going to say,
I fished
on
the Daily Double.
He's a mellow guy.
I have fished on the Daily Double a lot of times in my life, and I've never had anything but great times. It's always good people and good atmosphere. I love it. I think it's one of my most favorite places to go fishing.
Indeed. Hey, Pablo, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
How about we next up talk to Arnie? Arnie's calling us from Vista this morning. What's up, Arnie? Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys. How are we doing today? How are you doing, Fredo, Steve? How's everybody?
Good, Arnie.
Real good. Cool. You know, I know, like, Fred, you used to run the 8-3 trips during the week, during the slower seasons. How are you planning on running the Daily Double through the summer? Are you going to go back to your two trips, 5:30 in the morning and then
Is it
going to
be a Daily Double?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This is going to be our third or fourth season of 8:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. That's our trip that we always run. But then in the summertime, we add the 3 o'clock in the afternoon departure to 8:30 in the evening.
Okay.
So,
wow.
So 8:30 to 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 8:30 in the evening.
And, what a nice schedule.
And generally, you know, we slowly, you know, we start out with Friday and Saturday for that afternoon trip, but you know, we're past Memorial Day weekend. You know, once we do get the green light, it'll be two trips a day.
Okay, very good. And what about, Steve, what about you on the Mission Bell? What's the schedule?
6 to 6.
All
six
right.
Six departure, back home around 6.
6 to 6. Yes, and generally speaking, Coronado Islands, are you fishing offshore? What are you going to do?
We were going to best bite. We are certainly not going to go, you know, slug it out of the islands if the islands are not so great. And the same thing is true. We want to go wherever the best fishing opportunity is. We want to go look at the islands right now. I want to go look at the islands, and there's some really bad.
Yeah,
really bad.
Yeah, I want to go take a look around. This has been a long time since I've gotten to go take a look around the islands.
Yeah, and then as far as offshore, last year you had some pretty darn good local offshore.
We had very
tuna,
good,
right?
Very, very good yellowfin tuna later in the year, along with a mix of bluefin throughout the year. Yeah, it was another very, very good. It's been probably the most consistent, you know, 6 or 7 years I can ever remember for offshore fish late into the fall. Unheard of, you know. Usually September we're starting to think about, oh, that's going to wind down here, and that's just getting started.
Yeah.
It seems nowadays that's the new normal. Who knows?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
I know that this one isn't fair to ask either, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So given the scenarios, and passengers are happy with either, and the fishing opportunity is great with both, what do you prefer to do if you could go, you know, catch 100 yellowfin tuna offshore or 100 yellowtail to Coronado Islands? What, you know, all things equal, everybody's happy, the fuel you burn's the same, take all that out of it just for fun's sake. What would Steve rather do? Good yellowfin fishing or good yellowtail fishing?
I'd rather fish yellowtail.
Yeah.
All day, every day.
Yes, indeed. Me too.
Easy answer.
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, tell them how badly you want to get out to the Coronado Islands and look around.
I want
to
go.
You want to go fishing with me? We'll get you.
I want to see.
That's cool, Arnie.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Arnie.
All right, let's jump right back into him. Talk to Derek. He's calling us from Poway this morning. What's up, Derek? Welcome to the show.
Hey guys, what's going on?
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Joe. Hello.
Yeah, hey. I have a question because it's 269 days before I retire. I'm getting
okay.
My boat off down with offshore trips and all that, but I want to start fishing the bay, and I've been watching these shows, and I saw these guys fishing those A rigs or umbrella rigs they're calling, and I thought the maximum hooks on them were like 3 hooks. And I see these guys from that are fishing with 5 hooks. Is it 3 or 5?
It is 3 in freshwater for sure. And unless you're targeting ground fish, rockfish, and such, there isn't a limit to the amount of hooks that you could have on an A rig when you're fishing for calico.
When you're saying ground fish, so bass,
rockfish,
rockfish regulation. Yeah, rockfish.
Bass and halibut don't count.
Correct. You could start to really pick the law apart, and you could potentially get yourself in trouble if you had a rockfish on the boat and you were fishing an A-rig. Maybe you could, but, I mean, the intent of it is, you know, the limited number of hooks is 4 targeting rockfish. And if you're just fishing calico bass in salt water, you can fish 5 hooks. If you're fishing in freshwater, it's got to be 3.
You can fish 10 hooks if you want, right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the deal. But I've never seen an A-rig with 10 hooks on it. It could happen, though, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Spreader rig.
Spreader rig? Yeah, there you go.
Totally.
So there you go, yeah. And fishing in the bay right now has been very, very good, right?
Man, it's been fantastic. Yeah. I've chuckled at the, you know, a lot of guys that would normally be out, you know, just like Steve, out fishing, you know, big fish, but they're, you know, waiting to go. It's been fun having, like, back-to-back customers being, you know, Frankie O'Hara and Randy Toussaint and, you know, the boys from the Queen and all those guys, and they're all coming in buying, you know, hooks for fishing, you know, fishing the bay, lead heads for bass fishing after work, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there has been some fantastic fishing in the bay, both bass and halibut and everything else, and, yeah, it's just good. It's good fishing right now.
There you go. Hope that helped you out, Derek. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Appreciate that.
All right. When we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming up. More of your phone calls, more great information. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Pete here to tell you about our friends Jim and Mary and their incredible crew at Poway Valley Collision. I hear it all the time. Hey, I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, and you were right. Mentioned you guys, and they gave us the VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them now, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And I'm not fooling. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, and Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. I had my car repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com. It's time to talk about where the fishing is always wide open, and that's at Point Loma Seafood, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. I was in there yesterday, like you, Ricky, and bought some fresh Alaskan king salmon.
Oh,
how about that?
So cute.
They also had, they had so much fresh. They had fresh white sea bass, local white sea bass, fresh tuna. I mean, if, everything was fresh. The freshest thing in town.
If you were there yesterday, did you see the size of the red they had in their whole fish
case?
Yeah,
beautiful.
And when I walked in there, the guy said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want the GPS numbers exactly as to where that thing came from." You know, there was like a true like 9-pound red hole in the case yesterday. It was very impressive looking.
Yeah.
That place is awesome. They call it the freshest thing in town, and that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Like you said, the fresh case just blew me away. That's awesome.
Yeah, and now not only can you take fish home, but you can eat right there. You can order your... order it and sit down and social distance and have your great lunch or dinner right there next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. Point Loma Seafoods right there, open 11 to 6 every day.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Art Taylor of The Searcher. 2020 is the golden anniversary of Cape Polaris and Searcher. Come help us celebrate 50 amazing years in sport fishing. Searcher has a great crew, awesome food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2020 schedule is available now, so this is a golden opportunity to make your reservation online at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia or Callie at 619-226-2403.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Man, having a great time. I love having Greg and Steve in the studio, man. This is a great show.
Yeah, we're having fun talking fishing here. If you want to join us, it's been a busy morning. 833-288-0973 is the line. Get in the rotation, talk to Dave in the studio there, and check it out. Hey, I want to also mention, too, that, you know, you heard Cap Mark Taylor on The Searcher just talking about fishing there. Don't forget, we are on for that June 20th Encinitas Ford live broadcast from Encinitas Ford, corner Encinitas Boulevard and El Camino Real, Saturday, June 20th. Mark your calendar. Be your first chance to have a chance to win that 8-day limited load trip in the fall on The Searcher. And we want to thank Art and Celia for donating that.
Totally.
Trip.
Have you gone by The Searcher in the last couple of days and seen the name of
yes,
the back of the boat?
Yeah.
That's been really cool.
Yeah, they put so the Cape Polaris on the back,
yeah,
right?
So the 50th anniversary of The Searcher, and they've got a banner covering up the Searcher logo that says Cape Polaris, which was the name it was launched.
Right.
Which, there has been a lot of people that have walked through the store, and, you know, the, when the, you open the doors to the tackle store, it looks right out on all the boats, and, you know, The Searcher is dead center right in front of the doors, and there's been a lot of, what boat is that? Where did that come from? When did they change the name? It's pretty cool walking by and seeing the Cape Polaris on the back of The Searcher.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, legendary boat, for sure.
No
50
doubt.
Years, you imagine?
It's awesome.
And,
and it's in better shape now than the day it was launched.
Probably is. Yep. Yeah, most certainly is. It's an amazing vessel, and they do such a good job of taking care of it.
No doubt, man. Yeah. You had mentioned earlier getting a haircut. I think it goes without saying. I talked to our buddy Uncle Al this morning. Sports Barber. Barber is open for business. So if you are
Sports Barber in Dana Point.
Yep. So if you're looking for the best haircut to go in Dana Point, our buddy Uncle Al, who's listening to the show, and they are open and ready to roll.
And Uncle Al will also give you some of his secret calico fishing tips.
And one of the very best in the whole world.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah. So go see the Sports Barber right there and right near the port there in
Dana
Point.
Just on the Lantern Streets, just up the road from up the road from Dana Wars.
Man, I wish Al was down here.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
When I lived,
but then all those people that take care of him up there would be.
When I lived in San Clemente, Dana Point, like that was my spot. I would go get my haircut by Uncle Al all the time. He's the best and a lot of fun and a great storyteller. And he's a good dude and a great supporter. Let's Talk Hookup. I really like Al.
You bet. Let's go ahead and jump back in the phones.
John in Rancho San Diego is up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, John? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Great show today. I love listening to you.
Thanks,
buddy. I love fishing on the Bell, man. One of my favorite days is being out on the Mission Bell. And, a lot of skippers, when they're up running the boat, they use that mic and they say too little. But not with Steve, man. He gives you, like, a full play-by-play from the mic, and it keeps the excitement and enthusiasm up. It's just awesome. Love it. So
nice.
Cool.
Hey, I really have gotten used to using a spinning reel. I have a Shimano Thonis, and I love that with the bait running feature and all that. But I still get kind of sideways looks from the deckhands every once in a while, and wondered if Steve or Fred, if you guys thought that using a spinning reel, a higher end spinning reel like that, is a disadvantage in any way, and then also if you wouldn't mind just commenting what you think your go-to rig would be for a three-quarter day trip?
Great question.
That is a good question.
Yeah.
I think nowadays the spinning gear is fantastic. I don't think you're at no disadvantage whatsoever, especially on the only time when the conventional tackle is on giant fish. That's when you have to have conventional gear. But the spinning tackle takes a lot of the learning curve out. You can immediately come on the boat and be a proficient caster, and that is the one thing that people struggle with. And by all means, good spinning gear is excellent. It's fantastic tackle. I find myself kind of getting, enjoying messing around with spinning tackle. It's not my first, it's not my go-to tackle, but I enjoy messing around with it and learning to use it better in the saltwater.
The last few years have made a really big
poppers,
difference, too. That's
yes.
the thing. Like, in the old days, you couldn't get any torque, or there's no power in the reel. It goes, technology changes, and like you said it best, now with a good piece of spinning tackle, you're not at a disadvantage where at one point you were, and that's just not the case anymore.
Absolutely. Absolutely not. For me, though, however, three-quarter day, you asked, your last question was about tackle for three-quarter day. Boy, you probably got to have at least a couple pieces of gear if you're going to try and do it right. But if you had to have just one rod, it'd be 25-pound test for fishing a bait. You could probably even get away fishing a yo-yo jig. Meh, a little bit light for yo-yo fishing. But, a 25-pound bait stick and a 40-pound utility rod would probably get you through most of your three-quarter day fishing. I'm a big fan of Shimano Trinidad 20A is the best casting reel I've ever put my hands on. It's the nicest tackle there is, I think. But, if you just two pieces of gear, a 40-pound rod that's 8 feet for throwing a surface iron and or dropping a yo-yo jig, 40-pound test on a Trinidad 20, and then a bait stick, something 7.5 or 7 feet or even 8 feet with 25-pound test on a Trinidad 16 is pretty awesome, perfect, and you could, change it up and do other stuff, fish bait, heavy bait on the 40-pound rod and whatever. Those two rods get it done for most three-quarter day applications.
All right,
great.
That's good stuff.
Good info, man. That was great.
Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right, how about we jump right back into it, talk to Sean. Sean's calling from Oceanside this morning. What's up, Sean? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Really appreciate this show. It keeps me going when we're not out on the water.
Indeed. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about the rods and reels that are just sitting around collecting dust, and I kind of have a two-part question. Based on what you see out in the water, what maintenance would you recommend that the occasional fishermen do before we go out? And then also, what is the life expectancy of leader that's just hanging out in the tackle box?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
The maintenance is just make sure your drag and the reel goes in and out of gear and the handle turns and the knobs get crusty and this and that. I just pick it up and see if it works. And then, of course, if you drop it off a tackle shop and have them go through it from time to time, I typically fish them till they're dead. and then get them redone and then, you know, go back after it.
I can confirm that because I have seen Steve drop off some absolutely grenaded reels before. He fishes them until they are no longer on life support. No doubt about it.
Yeah. But they can live again.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Get a little maintenance done.
Yeah. The leader line in the tackle box, though, that's interesting. I feel like if it's fluorocarbon, it seems like to me they have a little bit more longevity, they have more life. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can measure it in years or whatever. I don't know. But I certainly use fluorocarbon longer than I would ever use a piece of mono as a main line. And that's weeks and weeks rather than days. You know, if you go fish hard for a day with a piece of mono, it wasn't uncommon to change your line on your jig stick every day. If you're making a gazillion casts with mono, you might need to change your line, you know, every day, every other day, especially if you burn it with your thumb or something when you're casting. That's usually how it goes away. It gets burned by your thumb.
But. Oh, really? Okay. So what about you? When you're loading up that Trinidad 20A, what are you putting on it? Are you putting Power Pro on it? Are you putting straight mono on it? What are you doing for jig casting?
For a jig stick, I'm gonna have the bottom half of it filled up with Power Pro. Okay. And then the top, I'm going to have mono. I'm going to have 40 pound mono for casting. Mm-hmm. And
so you like to cast the mono?
I like casting mono. Okay. And then for bait, I fish a lot of straight long pieces of fluorocarbon.
Okay.
How long? 100 yards.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I like the Sunline Sniper. The Sunline single pieces of fluorocarbon. I like it a lot.
Yeah. And how often will you change the mono on your jig stick?
Depends on how beat up it gets. Oh, I'm sorry. Depends on how beat up it gets, how much we're casting, and if I burn the line, casting dry line is your thumb burns the line. You get a little white spot in your line, and that line's burned and it's compromised.
Yeah.
And it's have to replace it that day.
You can't risk making another cast on some catch up and send that jig away because you knew that it happened, but you didn't. You just can't let that happen.
So are you like Ricky, where you have these prized possession jigs that like you don't want to, when a sea lion's around, you're not gonna throw that? Or
I have lures that I adore, that I love, that I've caught a lot of fish with, that I like. But I fish them until they go away, and I'm not gonna hang one on the wall. That's a waste.
Okay.
I don't even like bringing the story up. Because it bugs me every time that I think about it. But Steve has the single worst sea lion robbing of a fish story in the history of anything surface iron ever, period.
Let me hear it.
It was when catching a wahoo hadn't happened yet.
I didn't want to hear it again.
There hadn't been many wahoo caught at anywhere in Southern California, period. And we were at North Island, and we were on a school of a mixed school of yellowtail. And there's some bonito around also, and I cast out a surface iron, and I hooked a fish, and I wasn't sure what it was, and I handed it off to a guy, and the fish ran and did all kinds of crazy stuff, and I thought, there must be a sea lion chasing it, because it's doing weird stuff on the surface. And I handed the rod off to a guy, and the guy fought the fish, and I was going to getting ready to gaff the fish for the guy, and I looked in the water, and I realized it was a wahoo.
Oh, my.
And nobody had caught one of the islands. This was
surface iron wahoo. Coronado Island.
At North Island. And I was getting ready to gaff the fish, and the sea lion came up behind it and grabbed it and just kind of swam away with it.
Oh,
my God. It makes me so mad.
I was shattered. I mean, we would have been the first one at the islands, period.
Yeah.
And that year, or ever. I mean, ever.
Probably ever.
Ever. Yeah.
Coronado Island Wahoo.
And it was months and months and months before any others were caught there. And I couldn't believe that a sea lion had just taken a wahoo from us.
Oh my God. That's stupid.
That's a heartbreaker there, for sure. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about we jump back into the phones? Tom in Temecula is up next on Let's Talk Go. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, guys. Enjoying your show immensely. It's very refreshing. Fred, out in front there when you're fishing, do you prefer an outgoing tide out of the bay or an incoming tide? And do you ever get offshore with your boat, even though you're kind of limited on time?
So to answer the first question, you know, we've talked about favorite spots and what we like, and you know, depending on conditions, will kind of sets up to where we're going to go. You know, we fish so many different spots, and there's conditions we prefer depending on what the spot is. So and out to sea current, we're lucky on the point that we can be east of the ridge and fish it what we kind of refer to as inside out. So a south wind or a southeast wind in an out to sea condition works. You know, you hear guys talk about hating the out to sea condition. But if you have the wind to match it, if you have clean water, if you have, you know, there are spots that will work. So what I prefer, you know, you prefer an in current. You know, wherever you're fishing, whether it's islands or up and down the coast, more times than not, you want a condition that's going into the beach or into the island. But that doesn't mean spots can't be fished inside out. You know, the south end of North Island, that inside edge, if a current's going out to sea, the inside edge of the middle grounds, you know, that works on an out to sea current. So, you know, Steve and I, we've been doing this forever, and you know, there's no awful conditions. You know, that, I mean, they can be. You know, it's a clean water is important. If the water's dirty, if the water's cold compared to what it's been, those are always killers. But you know, for every condition, there's a solution.
Yeah,
where you can find something and catch it inside out, and that's part of the challenge. That's why we love doing it. We, you know, Rick P was asking earlier about what's your favorite spot, and it's like there's sometimes you roll out there, and if that current's uphill and the wind's out of the south, I mean, that's not always a normal condition. But when those two things are lined up and going the same way, I love it. I'm excited. You know, where do I go? I can name a half dozen spots off the top of my head that I want to look at.
Man, that's spoken like a true professional. That's awesome.
And when you say I'm going to look at it, what are you going to look for?
Just, you know, water clarity, current direction, you know, birds, you know, just there's a million little things that go into making the decision. And, you know, it all kind of falls into place. And then, you know, you put your anchor down and see what happens. And then, you know, more information comes in as you're there.
Yeah.
So what was the second question?
Offshore. Offshore. The double ever makes it offshore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We it seems like once we've serviced our half-day trips in the summer time for the, you know, the tourists and everybody that's in town, and we've had such phenomenal offshore fishing in the falls. I mean, you know, Steve mentioned the last 6-7 years, some of the best offshore fishing we've seen, and you know, the demand just goes high. I mean, it amazes me. We'll be catching decent yellowtail on the coast, you know, on a half-day trip, but that people don't, they want to be offshore. So typically speaking, we had 3 boats running offshore last fall.
I think even on your half day, I mean, you'll
go ahead and get close to that mic.
There. Even on your half day trip, sometimes you'll bend it out to go take a look for some bonito or some yellowtail. You know, not offshore proper, but close to the 9 mile bank and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's not at all uncommon. And down in IB, it seems like you're offshore, even though you're not really. It's only 20 whatever fathoms, yeah. But you're out in the middle of nowhere.
No structure related.
No, you're fishing open water fish, yellowtail, bonito, barracuda, whatever happens to be.
So, yeah, we've seen some phenomenal, you know, that big bonito fishing, just fishing offshore like you would. You know, you got troll lines out, or you know, you're looking for shiners or sonar marks, or you know, there's been some of, you know, it's a 6-hour trip, but it feels like you're offshore. You know, the way we're hunting, sure. The way we're fishing.
Yeah.
The last couple of years, there have been some giant bonita back around the coast again too.
Yeah.
You get a hold of a 10-pound bonita, it pulls as hard as anything you ever want to catch ever.
Yep. And if you want to fish for pokey, that's
oh really?
There you go.
Oh, it
good
works.
Pokey, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So, question about, you mentioned something, Steve, about anchoring. How much anchoring do you do these days with the sea lion issues at the Coronado Islands?
It changes year to year and day to day. We've done some, you know, we certainly much less than like was, you know, traditional in the 70s, 80s.
Drop the anchor.
And wait for conditions.
Yeah.
I think it's the sonar. It's the sonar is a different. There's the difference. You don't wait for fish to come to the piece of structure and make a pass through. You go drive around and track it down.
Gotcha.
And fishing on the back, like Fred was talking about, the east side of ridges and the backsides, and some places where we didn't look for yellowtail much, we catch them there now.
That's cool.
Yeah, at the islands especially, at like the east side of the South Kelp Ridge, there wasn't a place that people fished much, and nowadays you drive down the east side of the ridge looking for a school and you know, you catch them there. We just do. Cool. It wasn't where we would traditionally mm-hmm. look, but we ran into them often enough back there that it's like, you got to go look now. You have to go look there.
Yeah.
And it's just not where you'd expect to see them, even with conditions where that would normally position the fish on the west side or the upcurrent side of the ridge. Sometimes they're back there, just whatever they're doing, not sure, but they are not where you would think to look necessarily, but they're there often.
On the wintertime days when it's all about the sonar and you're going to catch them because you found a ball, how long does it take you to cover, quote-unquote, the islands? Like, can you see everything that you would want to see in a day, or does it take you, you know what I mean, does it take multiple days to kind of see the whole thing?
If you're by yourself, if it's just one boat, you can't do it all. I mean, right. if you're talking about from the Finger Bank all the way to the 9 mile bank, too much to do in one day. But a fleet can get it sort of kind of covered. If people go off in different directions,
right.
you can 2, 3, 4, 5 boats looking around, or even some good information from a long range boat. Someone leaving on a long range trip goes down past the Finger Bank,
right.
and they see some birds, they see some fish, they do whatever, and that's great dope to work on for the next day. You know, if we're off the fish or whatever, and it's just the whole cumulative information comes in from different sources and your own checks and other people's, and it just hopefully puts you on fish sooner or later.
That's cool. Hey, good questions there. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right, let's jump back into them. Talk to John calling from Mira Mesa this morning. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
I got my first yellow on the Mission Bell back in 77 when it was out of Seaforth. And back then, there was no wheelhouse, so it was all open. And I don't remember when the boat had a house put on it. Also, I know that it used to be a fairly slow boat. I know you guys repowered it a while back. Can you talk about the improvements you've made since you fired the boat?
Absolutely. Yeah. Boy, that's there.
Long
now,
list.
Now you're talking. the speed, we've got a couple of Cummins in there. Fresh repower Cummins. The boat's it's quicker. It's we're stock standard fleet speed. We're not slow by any stretch. I think probably back then it probably had a pair of 671 Detroits and it was slow. And but since we've owned the boat, it's always had Cummins and has always been relatively decent speed. Not I'm not going to say it's fast, but it's okay. We're average speed sport fishing boat. So the speed end is, that's one thing. We put an RSW on the boat. We've got a nice fish.
RSW on a Mission Bell.
Absolutely.
Sweet.
That was part of our bait tank. We put a brand new bait tank on it that has an RSW system built into it.
Cool.
The newest thing we put on there is a brand new sonar. We've got a brand new, Westmar.
Nice.
Yeah. That I like. It's the gyro stabilized sonar and it's fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a nice, nice sonar. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, all that stuff, that's, just so only new engines, a new bait tank, and a new sonar.
Yeah, gyros.
That's all.
That's good.
And then plus, sorry,
that's okay. Just
structural stuff. I mean, the plate, replating on the bottom, a lot of welding's happened. When we first got that boat, it had a steering problem where all of a sudden it turned off to port real quick, and we've gone through all the running gear. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on.
It's so comfortable. I mean, it's just a great boat. It's low to the water and it's wide and it just doesn't move around a bunch. It's such a it is like you can't put pen to paper and draw like a better local fishing platform. It's perfect.
How big is the Mission Bell?
65.
Yeah, and there's a lot in it.
Yeah,
it's ideal for what you do, right? That full day
fish. It's nice. It's a nice. It rides really well. We get sideways in the trough, and it just sits, squats down, and sits there. It's a very, very comfortable boat to be on, in almost any weather, obviously. But it's nice. It's comfortable and steel and heavy, and it just rides well.
Things.
Yeah,
it's steel.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
Sir.
Wow. That's why it's so comfortable to ride.
Yeah, it rides really well.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was steel. So that's that. There you go. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. I got an update from our friend John at Point Loma Seafoods that. Point Loma Seafoods is now open 9 to 7, and the kitchen opens at 10 every day.
Right.
So they extended their hours back to
normal hours.
Old, normal hours, 9 to 7 every day. at Point Loma Seafood.
Cool.
So,
I'd like to hear that.
Indeed. Before we wrap up here real quick, I have a question for both of you. Okay, so so when things get started up again, the reservations are going to be online, and you are going to require reservations, is that right?
Yeah, there's going to be reservations are required. Yes,
okay.
I'm not totally sure if I think walk-ups will be fine.
If it's based on availability.
Yeah. There's a spot on board, and we're leaving, and you're there. I think you can get on board the boat.
Yeah. Okay.
I think when they say go, people want to go fishing with you guys. It's just so safe to make your reservation. Like you said, obviously, if there's a spot, you're going fishing, but
right.
I think the popularity is going to be so high. And like you said, there's just flat-out less spots available. I think reservations off the bat are just a smart call for
really
the angler. Maybe
important.
It's not necessity for you to be allowed to go, but I think, you know, just like you were saying, you know, there's just lesser spots. I just think it's very important to get your name on that list beforehand.
Yeah, I don't want to scare anybody away from making a last-minute decision.
Yeah, I'm not trying to say that.
Seeing that there's
sure.
a spot. But, you know, like you say, if you have that day off and you definitely want to go, it's smart to
make that reservation.
Secure your spot. But I don't ever want to turn away or let somebody think that, oh, well, I don't have a reservation, I'm not going to get to go.
That's a good point.
I mean,
sure.
how many Padre games sell out?
Yeah,
right.
But with 24 people, my point is, it's like,
yeah.
if you really want to go fishing that day, it's always better to make a reservation.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
Don't be afraid if you just go, hey, I want to go fishing. Just go down to Point Loma Sport Fishing and say, hey, is spot available?
Yeah.
And,
well, and
jump on the boat.
And you can always call on the phone, Point Loma Sport Fishing, 619-223-1627. We'll get you to somebody in the office.
Yeah.
And that office is...
have to do an online reservation.
No. Uh-uh.
Either way.
Yeah.
You hear how bad these two want to go fishing? Like, I want to be on that first week. Like, I want to be there when they get some payback in. I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. Fish don't stand a
chance
when these guys are
sure.
back on the water, for sure. Indeed.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going fishing because we're giving away two passes on the Daily Double out of Point Loma Sport Fishing and that $50 Point Loma Seafoods gift certificate. You stay tuned. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
For your next trip, who needs travel insurance? You do. This is Bob Dawson from Dawson & Associates Insurance Services. We guarantee the lowest prices on all travel insurance plans with 6 companies and 122 different policies. We recommend that you purchase your trip insurance within 14 days of your initial trip deposit to get your money refunded if you have to cancel. These plans will include trip cancellation insurance, medical, medevac, baggage loss, and rental car coverage. Please call me at area code 619-990-3068 or visit us at safariglobaltravel.com.
When you put on a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses, the world begins to look different. Colors are more vivid. Contrast is clearer. Details are crisper. Wherever your vision leads you, beauty follows. With polarized lenses that eliminate glare and enhance color, Maui Jim sunglasses won't change the world. They'll change the way you see it. Color. Clarity. Detail. Maui Jim.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
It's time to get excited about fishing, and Point Loma Sport Fishing has everything you'll need. They offer half-day and three-quarter-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit their website at pointlomasportfishing.com, where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627.
For local and long-range fishing, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among seasoned or novice anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. They also do incredible Guadalupe white shark diving trips, as well as a schedule of kayak mothership trips. You need to check out the Islander on their website, islander-charters.com. The Islander is San Diego's leader when it comes to 2 to 5 day fishing. Watch the website for trips and adventures available. Experience the Islander difference. Visit islander-charters.com for all the details.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Hey, what a great time with the boys from the Daily Double, the Point Loma, the Mission Bell, having Fred and Steven here. This was a great time. Big winner that's going fishing on the Daily Double and getting that $50 gift certificate to Point Loma Seafoods. That's going to Derek in Poway. Derek, congratulations. You're going to love fishing on the Double.
Oh, boy, you are going to love it for sure. And Steve, once again, thank you. I know you're anxious.
Yeah, I love that.
So as soon as the green light goes, you're ready to roll, right, on the Mission Bell. And where's going to be your first destination?
Coronado Islands.
Coronado Islands. All right. Very good. Yeah, for sure. You're going to go catch some yellowtail, I'll bet.
We're hoping.
Indeed. And they're there.
I think so.
If anybody can catch them, Steve Peterson can catch them. There's no doubt about it. Well, thank you, guys. And, of course, Fred, thank you, Daily Double. Of course, give us a schedule, Steve, on the Mission Bell once you get going.
6 a.m. departure every day going
every
to Coronado
day.
Islands unless we're chartered.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
That's the plan for now.
And then, Fred, how about the Daily Double?
Two half-day trips a day. We depart at 8:30 a.m., returning at 2:30 p.m. We leave again at 3 p.m. and get back at 8:30 p.m. Right after the sun's gone down.
Yeah, that sounds fun. And if somebody wants to go on the boat, it's going to be limited load once we get started to 24 on each one of those vessels, right?
Yeah, 24.
And then 18 on the Point Loma?
Yeah, the Point Loma, we put them online for three-quarter day local, and that's something, boy, we don't talk about it enough. It is a traditional three-quarter day trip.
Okay.
You know, the 10-hour trip that, you know, it's kind of something that's been lost. 6:30 departure, 4:30 in the afternoon return. Point Loma Sport Fishing, their phone number is 619-223-1627. Or, of course, you can book online at pointlomasportfishing.com.
All right. Thank you, guys. Very good. Thank you very much to Dave and in the studio, Adam, for doing everything he does on our app. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Scott Sherman from Snap Insurance will be here, and I'll bet Scott will have some interesting takes on all this that's going on. So tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m., we'll see you right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup Radio Network and the Let's Talk Hookup app.